I'm going to call to order a regular meeting for the Grover Beach City Council, Monday, December 7, 2015. Would you all please stand, rise and stand with us for a moment of silence? And tonight we want to honor not only the heroes and those who suffered at Pearl Harbor, but the recent victims in this tragic shooting in San Bernardino. Thank you. Please remain standing. One of our best parts of our meeting is we get our youth involved with giving the flag salute tonight. And so tonight we have Isabella, Bella Mossman. So would you rather go with by Bella? Okay. So Bella, come on up. She's 9 years old and a fourth grade student at Fairgrove Elementary School. She likes music, class, science, math, and seeing her friends at school. She says that her teacher makes learning fun. Bella enjoys living on the Central Coast because of the beach, the weather, and living close to her friends. And she looks forward to pursuing music and science classes in high school and is interested in learning about her career options. Me too, Bella. Bella enjoys riding her bike, music, cooking, playing softball, reading, art, and playing board games. And I believe you're accompanied tonight by your parents, mom, dad, and teacher or principal. Yeah? Okay. So, Bella, whenever you're ready.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Bella. And I have something here for you. This is a certificate of appreciation in this young lady. Take our picture. Thank you so much for being with us. And here's some school supplies. Shake everyone else's
hand. Why don't you just leave it there, and as you go down, you pick it up.
Darling, yeah.
You want to get a picture of her in the center of all of us?
Yeah. Poor girl.
Take it right in front of me. There you go. Thanks. Very, very. Okay. Donna, when you're ready, roll call, please.
Here.
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 Here. Here. Thank you, Donna. Let's move on to our closed session. We want to our closed session announcement. City Attorney, can you cover those, please?
Absolutely. Honorable Mayor, Council Members, the Council met in closed session on 5 items at the last Council meeting. They included public employment with the position of the City Manager, conference with labor negotiators, on several groups, conference with legal counsel on existing litigation, Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District versus City of Santa Maria, and also conference with real property negotiators on the lease with Pacifica Companies. After reconvening into open session, there were no reportable actions taken by the council in closed session.
Thank you, sir. Okay, let's move on to agenda review. This is where the council will review the agenda as presented by staff and decide if we want to make any changes to that. Thank you. Do any members of the council want to change the order of the agenda as presented?
Not me. Mr. Mayor, I do want to draw your attention and to those in the crowd. I noticed that we have a number of people here. Presumably some of them are equestrians, most likely to address the public hearing item, financing plan for installation of public improvements. As noted in the agenda, that item has been pulled and it will not be considered tonight. There's no staff report associated with it. The item still requires some additional work, and When it is ready for rehearing, we will submit a notice, a public hearing notice, and it will be publicly noticed. I wouldn't expect that you'd see it back on your agenda until late January or early February.
Okay. And then let me ask city attorney, since the city managers talked about item number one being continued to a date uncertain, we'd have to renotice it. I know a lot of folks came down here tonight, and would it be appropriate to have them make comments during public communications rather than on that item?
I think that would be the appropriate place. Obviously, anyone can come and talk to you about anything within your jurisdiction. The other option is if they wish to come when that item is going to be before you and speak to you when you have the staff report and a consideration. But at that time, obviously, that option is also available.
Okay. So then when we get to public communications, if I call your name, if you still want to speak tonight, please feel free to come forward. And otherwise, we'll hang on to this, and you'll be notified when we actually bring the item back for actual action. Okay? So we were at a point of the agenda. So did any council members want to change the order of the agenda? Or if not, I'll accept a motion on that.
So moved.
Second.
Miriam, did you have some, or are you just going to make the motion? Okay. Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. So with the exception of item number one, which the city manager addressed, we will proceed with the agenda as presented. And there are extra copies, I believe, back on the back table. So let's move on to our ceremonial calendar. We do not have any items on that on the calendar tonight. So we'll move right into public communications, and this is an opportunity for any member of the public to address the council for a period of time not to exceed 3 minutes on any item within the jurisdiction of this council. Please bear in mind we cannot take any action on any item that is not on the agenda. So this is your opportunity to speak on any item not on the agenda. If there is an item on the agenda that you want to speak to, I will allow you time to speak at that point. So I'm going to go forward with what I've got in hand, and we'll see how it goes. So I've got Mary, is it Laporte or Laporte? Which would you like to?
Thank you for letting me speak. Good evening, Mary Laporte. I don't live here. I live in San Luis Obispo, but I came down, so I thought I would stay. I'm speaking in behalf of many equestrians from the San Luis area who would be very saddened to not see some sort of facility, staging area, what have you, supplied by the Grand Avenue entrance. That's the one that I use. And just to give you an example, I'm also a 4-H leader for Edna in San Luis area. And I've got this year 16 kids, and one of the most thrilling things that we can do during our show year and learning about horses is to go for a beach ride. And the reason why this particular beach is our favorite location is because we can go sometimes north and not have to deal with traffic, or we can go south for the kids that need a little extra challenge. But either way, we usually stop, buy cinnamon rolls at some of the businesses or sodas or food. We don't just come here, drop the horses, and ride. We actually do spend a little time and money. The other reason why it's a nice beach for us to be able to use is because the children usually have families that want to come and watch their kids ride. And because it's so accessible from the standpoint of where it's located, that it's not a very big walk. So I just wanted to put a plug in for that, and I hope that your developers and planners are please considering some sort of way to keep that as a fabulous recreational opportunity for all of us equestrians.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Darcy Murphy.
Hi. I would like to invite you all to come down and see the parking at the staging area, which is where you take your horses, you get out, you get them saddled, down on Highway 1. it doesn't work. And I think if you could get a better picture of what we need as far as the parking and the staging area, and just personally see it, I'd like to invite you, and I would love to take you down there and show it to you and show you how it's not working, so that when you do this in this big development, that you can go forward well informed, and that's what it's all about. So I've got a lot of other things, but there's a lot of other people too. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for those comments. Linda Clark. And Linda, we followed by Kathleen Phelps.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Council members. My name is Linda Clark, and I'm here tonight as a representative of several equestrian groups. In addition, I'm the chairman of an equestrian committee that has been meeting with Mr. Perrault over the past 3 years in an effort to solidify a location as an alternate to the Grand Avenue spot. Unfortunately, the preferred location by the city was on the south side of Grand Avenue across from the proposed hotel location, and as I'm sure you all know, the Coastal Commission did not agree with that. So that has left us in a limbo situation. We have researched Oceano. We have researched over by the airport, which San Luis Obispo County was willing to give us a piece of if we, the equestrians, would pay them almost $300 a month. We're not interested in doing that. We've been parking and accessing the beach from Grand Avenue for the past 20 or so years, and we believe that we have a right to continued access, and that the City of Grover Beach and Oceano State Parks have a responsibility to find a location that provides adequate parking and safe access to the beach. You were going to be discussing financing plan for public improvement tonight, so I'll bypass my comments on that. I have actually located what I believe to be an excellent solution. I've written to Mr. Perrault. I've copied that to you, Mayor Scholz.
Yes.
And Mr. Perrault advised me that he would see that the council members received a copy of my letter and the overview of that location. It's a small portion of the Oceano campground nearest to State Parks Ranger Office, has direct beach access through the dunes. The committee I work with will be meeting with Mr. Perrault next week to discuss this, but I believe it's going to take you, the mayor, and the city council members to increase pressure on state parks to give up some of their park location that would be ideal for us. Separate from all that, the present improvements, including the crosswalks that are now in place, are so slippery because of the surface that equestrians mounted on their horses, the horses have fallen and the equestrians have been injured. This was immediately reported right after they were opened. One sign was made and put up at one location, yet there are four access points, one on each side of the two crosswalks, and the two that are closest to where we park have no signage. And I would urge the city to take quick remedy to sign both sides of both of those crosswalks to caution equestrians not to use them. And I would also urge you to have some sort of non-slip surface put on those for the future use in the case that equestrians continue to have to access the beach from there until the hotel project is started. A lot of money is being spent to bring the conference center and hotel to completion, and it's certainly my hope that Grover Beach will make good on their promise to relocate us to an adequate location with beach access. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Clark. And could we? I know it's an emotional item for everyone, but I really need you to hold it down. If you want to clap, just raise your hands and sort of, okay? Thank you. And Ms. Clark, Mr. Perrault did pass that letter on to the council. Very good. Ms. Phelps.
Yes, good evening. I'm Kathleen Phelps. I'm the Public Lands Director with the Los Padres Unit of the Backcountry Horsemen of California. The 350 members of Backcountry Horsemen of California Los Padres Unit, we encourage you to find an area for horse trailer parking at the Grover Beach, Pismo Beach entrance, as our existing area that we've used for decades will be converted to the Grover Beach Lodge. And you know this already. The entrance is the only available area for horse access to the beach in all of northern Santa Barbara and southern San Luis Obispo counties. Enough cannot be said as to how special this rare horse access is to citizens of the Central Coast and visitors from the San Joaquin Valley. Would you please involve a horse person? And I guess you've been involving Linda Clark, so this is a little obsolete now. But if you can continue to involve a horse person in the design for the conference center and any parking areas for horses or any access points for horses to make sure that it's safe for equestrians and the public. And if you would please look into alternate parking areas that could be suitable for horse parkings that would separate the horses from the soon-to-be-busy conference hotel area. This would help to avoid dangerous designs to horses, such as the new slippery crosswalks and the non-horse-friendly landscaping that was recently installed. And it really helps if there's a separate, clear path for horses, and all we want is dirt. Dirt's just great for us. Thank you for your efforts to include the traditional horse access in the development of the hotel. And please feel free to call to get a volunteer if you need any others that can help with parking lots, designs, or landscaping. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for those comments. All right, so Chris Foglietta.
Hi. The Grover Beach Lodge, as mentioned, is one of the last points of access, and it would be really a shame to lose it. Equestrian concerns regarding access to the trails and safe places to park are main concern of developers, we've been told. But if the slippery crosswalk is any indication of their knowledge of what horses do best on, then I lose a little faith in that. I really agree with what someone else had said. You need an equestrian to be there and discuss when you decide what's best for us with someone who knows what's best for us. I encourage you to take Darcy up on her suggestion that you go out and see what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you. Janine Vore?
Hi, good evening. I'm Janine Vore. I'm a lifetime equestrian. I've been riding on the beach up here for over 40 years with my friends and with my family, and most of the things that need to be said have already been said. I would like to make a comment about people coming from out of the area. I have a lot of friends who come from out of state. They stay in hotels. They board their horses in boarding facilities. They use our local supply stores, Farm Supply, and all the other equestrian suppliers. They buy feed. They use farriers. They use vets. There's a trickle-down effect economically that would happen if these people decided to go someplace else. I don't think that it has really been thought of enough how much business that the horse industry brings to this area. So many of the other places where we used to ride don't exist anymore. And for myself, I only live a few minutes from here, but this is the only place that I have left to ride anymore, unless I want to trailer my animals way out 166 and ride in really rough country. The beach is a beautiful place for all of us to ride. It's safe. We don't have to worry about rattlesnakes and gophers, mountain lions, all of the things that you might encounter someplace else. And so I'm hoping that you will give consideration to all of the equestrians from our area and outside of our area and think about all of the economic impact that it will have if these people don't come here or decide to go someplace else. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Let's see. Steve Green. Steve, were you going to speak during public comment or on the topics of water?
Do you want to finish the horse? Is there more horse?
I think I just finished all of them. Oh, was there someone raising their hand? I don't have a speaker request form, so you come forward. I just need you to fill out a
cowgirls always come first with me.
Thanks, Steve.
You're a man.
Oh, you can fill it out afterwards. You can come talk. You can come and speak now though. Come on up.
Good evening, Mayor and City Councilmen and women. My name is Karen King, and I have been riding at the beach since 1987. Possibly before, but I don't remember. I enjoy riding at the beach, and I have parked my truck and trailer there very, very often. And very recently, I counted 14 trucks and trailers from out of the, well, actually, some from in the area and some from out of the area. And it was a large group of Andalusian horses, which were absolutely beautiful. And they had already left to go on their ride, and they came back, and they were just stunningly beautiful horses. And it was a large group, as I said, and they came back, and some of the locals had commented, you know, to me that they had a nice ride. But the other ones that came from quite a distance, from Southern California and Arizona, were just blown away from the beauty of the area. And, you know, how nice it was to be able to ride on the beach. And it was, you know, kind of instilling in me and refreshing and nice to hear such comments. And that it was such a delight for them to be able to have access to the beach and how appreciative they were. So I hope that you do realize that it's not just us locals, and much of this has already been said, but I was really impressed, because then when they loaded up their fancy, and I mean fancy trailers, you knew that they went off to go eat lunch somewhere and probably did a lot of shopping, because their wives were with them, and their husbands and family. And you can bet that they had a nice time in the area before they left, because they were there for at least the long weekend. So, again, you know, equestrians do bring money to the area, and they do appreciate the area. So I do hope you'll take that into consideration, as well as everything else people have said. And as well, it's already brought up about the crossing area, and I do hope a lot of thought will go into the material that's used on the crossing area. I've ridden horses long enough to know not to go in that area, but I personally witnessed a family crossing on that area, and they were already halfway across almost before the horse just slipped, and it was so fast. We were trying to warn them, and the horse just slipped, went on its side, and I don't know how the wife escaped getting hurt, because she was on her side, and she did not have a helmet on, but she slipped out. If she had gone underneath that horse, you know, she may not ever walk again. So we were all very thankful that she did not get hurt. It was miraculous that she did not get hurt.
Ms. King, I need you to wrap up. Are you done?
We like dirt. Dirt's cheap. And also, after locals ride a lot at the beach, we also peruse your restaurants and other shops, too. So even if we drive from Napomo, we also shop here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mike Clark.
Mike Clark, Aurora Grande, and we own a boarding facility. We do lessons, summer camps for kids. One of the things that was touched on was our youth, and one of the highlights of our camps or our lessons when we get a kid that's up on their riding skills, taking them to the beach is a big deal. And this is a great beach for that. It was also mentioned because the access of being able to get on that beach, the parents love to come and take pictures of their kids riding. So we'll tell them, hey, we're going to be there about such and such a time, so show up with your camera. You know, so it's a really great area for, you know, youth and kids that are just learning and, you know, recreating. So that's one item. The other item, it's been mentioned, that crosswalk thing, you guys. It's like, I was on a little mare and we just thought we'd try to do it. She went all four out from under just about. And the other thing is, and somebody had mentioned bringing a horse person in to help design whatever you guys are going to do, because those yellow diamond plate things, the non-skids on the handicap access, but we've got horses that think those are monsters.
Oh.
So I've seen it done where they groove the, for non-skid, they'll groove the concrete, you know, without putting color to it or something. But that bright yellow, oh, man. So it really would be good to involve a horse person in, you know, the planning stages, because, boy, that crosswalk was not. So, and it's been said, I mean, you go down there at times and there's, you know, 20 trailers. It's a heavily used facility. Economically, tourists come in, all that kind of good stuff. But I want to highlight the fact of the youth, our kids in the area, our kids that are learning how to horseback ride. This is a great, safe place for them to get their first chance to ride on the beach. So we'd just love to see access for that.
Thank you for those comments. Robert.
Mayor, City Council members, thank you. Robert, 867 North 6th Street, Grover Beach. I just wanted to make mention, I think that the discussion we're having tonight in regards to the horses is, it just hurts my heart to see what's happening to these people and the horses. You can bet that these horses and these people have been riding on this beach a long time before Grover Beach was ever here, much less California or any of the states. And for the state not to give up a portion of the land down there to accommodate the horses is beyond me. I don't know why. You know, this land belongs to the people. It's our land. And I'm sick and tired, for one, of the government buying up all the land and telling us we can't use it. But this is a great cause to use. Why should they even have to cross a street? That's ridiculous. There's enough property down there, beachfront property, to carve out a large section and accommodate all of them. And maybe you've already been in, in negotiations with the state in regards to that. I don't know. But if you haven't been, it would be my suggestion to get a piece of that property down there just for horses. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Nice. Luis, is this Hardin? Close enough?
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Luis Hardin, and I represent the San Andres Valley Riders. We have over 50 members. We ride all over the valley. We ride up and down the coastline. We are a 50-year-old club. And this riding club varies in size and off and on, and ages and people that are involved. We have children that ride with us. We have seniors that are 85 years old that ride with us. And I would just like to leave the beach open for the future and for the rest of us that are still riding and having a really good time riding our very valuable athletes. We do spend a lot of money on our horses in every which way. And we also spend money wherever we stop and we park, and we're very courteous, and we are really known for safety. Everybody in the club is very safety conscious. We're very concerned about other people being around horses that do not understand them and caution them and in how to move around them when we're on the trail and when we're parking. So we appreciate a spot that we could do safely and unload and load our horses, and also to cross over to the beach and ride our horses and have a good time. And everybody loves to see us out. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay. Okay, Steve Green, second chance.
Thank you. I'm here to, number one, thank the city for the help with the water situation I was having a problem with. Hi. The problem I was having was resolved with information. The city does have an hourly readout of what's going on with every meter. And I think that once that information was provided, I was able to go through, resolve the situation. And I think that if other people are having a problem with their water, that that would be the first place to start. It's digital data. You may be able to put it online and save people coming down to the office and taking up staff time because it's just reading it out all the time. So you may put it up on the internet. I don't know if that's classified information on the individual. The second thing is we've got apparently the roads are about to be put into the second phase. You're going to do some awarding of what's the next tranche of work to be done. I would say after sending in my taxes on my properties that I am all for you impeding my lifestyle in Grover Beach as much as possible to get it done quickly. There are two paving companies that are in the town, in Grover Beach, and I'd like to see it also be a jobs program. Let's put both crews to work if that's possible. Somebody's going to come in with a bid that the city takes. And I would think that if we doubled up who gets what, who gets where, we can put lots of people to work. And I don't think the WTO has to approve this since it's not crossing international borders and China is not interested in paving my street. So let's put as many people to work as possible and impact my life for the next 6 months and we can be done. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for the help with the water sure. situation.
Thank you for those comments. Sharon Brown. They really didn't have your back, did they? Sharon?
Thank you. I'm sorry that
it's not on.
It's not.
Can
the recorder? Is the recorder able to pick her up?
Well, I'm sorry the equestrian people left before I was able to speak because I wanted them to know, those who are from out of town, some of the fun stuff that we do in Grover. I wanted to give a big shout out to our Parks and Recreation Department, who presented a wonderful parade on Saturday. I hope all of you were able to go. It was great. And then tonight, for the tree lighting, and the kids, and the Santa, and the hot chocolate, and the cookies, this is what communities are about. This is what Grover is. Human.
Thank you for. Oh. I think we're all doing that, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Sharon. Martin Miltz.
This is definitely a different subject. Mayor Scholes, members of the City Council. I'm a community volunteer and an advocate for the homeless across San Luis Obispo County. I'm aware that the governing bodies of many jurisdictions in SLO County are already taking action to prepare for possible torrential flooding, cold weather, and other contingencies that may arise in the coming months due to the existence this year of a very strong El Nino. I am concerned, as I believe that you are, for the health and safety of all of our residents, including those that are chronically homeless, those that are housed homeless, such as families with children living in the homes of others, where the roof structure may be poor, or where the house may be in a floodplain, or who alternatively may be residents, business persons, or visitors who may be trapped in Grover Beach and away from their homes due to roadway flooding or blockage due to other causes. I therefore wanted to make certain that you are aware of Section 8698-8698.2 of the 2010 California Government Code, which relates to options that you have during a declared shelter crisis. As the City Council of Grover Beach, you have control of all city property. This code section allows you to declare a shelter crisis when there is a threat to the health and safety of a significant number of our citizens, including a significant number of homeless, and as I have suggested, when the health and safety of others is also at risk. The section allows you to declare that a shelter crisis exists, declare as shelter space, quote, any facility of a political subdivision, unquote, in this case the city, quote, including parks, schools, and vacant or underutilized city facilities which are owned, operated, and leased or maintained, or any combination thereof, by the political subdivision through money derived by taxation or assessment, and make those facilities available as crisis shelter space in both the day and night. The section does not mandate that you do this, but does provide you with authority to suspend existing rules and codes that would prevent you from making it happen where homeless persons would be at risk. At the same time, the section protects you from certain liabilities. As a young boy progressing through the ranks of scouting to Eagle Scout, I consistently heard the phrase, be prepared. I am asking you to do no less. I therefore ask that you make city staff aware of this section, and also that you ask city staff to assist you in immediately creating and maintaining a database of city facilities available to serve as crisis shelters. Thank you for the opportunity to make you aware of this section of the California Code.
Thank you for that, sir. John Weisong.
Why don't you tell them why I'm here tonight? It says on there, no water on Thanksgiving. You know, when I came here, 1,000 people, a Korean vet, I thought this would be a good place to settle. But this time of year, you know, I thought that, you know, this would be a good time of year to relax at my age, a Korean vet. But Tuesday, November 24th, they said they was going to turn the water off. A man came to the door, said that he was going to turn the water off. I said, what for? You've been here about 14 times now, four times. I've had four plumbers here. I've had Sears and Roebuck here. But, you know, we have this thing is called incompetent, irresponsible, corruption, dysfunctional situation in this town. And I know where it's coming from, but I've told you where it comes. Anyway, I told him, make sure that you put a rag on it. The chief of police has a pipe that I had the last time here, where that you cover it, the pipe, and then you turn and put a cap on it, and the dirt doesn't travel through the pipe. Is that it? Do you understand that? Here's a little boy, 7 years old, my great-grandson, and he knows how to put a pipe together under the ground so the cattle water won't get stuck by dirt. And you got men 25 50, 45 years old getting $25, $30 an hour that can't put a pipe in the ground, can't put a rag on it, can't put a cap on it, right across from her house. Why is it three houses there were the only ones singled out for water and changing the system, changing the meter? Why? Was that closed doors? Was that where that happened at? And so I come back from Santa Barbara, Santa Fe, Wednesday, the water wasn't going, and it was traveling. I had to shut it off outside, then I shut it off at the toilet for the wife. She's invalid. You know, this is horrible in this town to have to take and live like this. So I called the plumber. Well, he didn't answer. So the girls came, my granddaughter, and I said, hey, go over Coco and give us some meat. I'll give her the credit card. No, we're going south. We don't have time. So I sat there and I played with the water. No water Thanksgiving. Isn't that wonderful, living Grover Beach? No water on Thanksgiving? You ought to be proud of yourselves. You were elected by the people, for the people, to take care of people in time of need when things weren't working right. That's what you're for. You're the mayor. He's the city manager. The man there, Gabe Ray. You know, I had three men from Madonna. They said that he should go back for a refreshing course. They also said that people should be fired. Any time a pipe goes in the ground, Greg Ray should tell John Holmbach, who gets $100,000 for this engineering, and then he has a helper. Where in the hell are these people for inspection? Why aren't they there? That would have saved me. And then when I get my money, I can't get it till after Thanksgiving. I said, I'd like to have it before I go to Santa Barbara. But I didn't get it. Finally, I got it before Thanksgiving. So I go over at 5 o'clock to Coco's. I sit down there, lined up outside and inside, and a waitress comes and said, your meal's paid for, sir. I looked around. I didn't know a person in that place. I don't know. Somebody felt sorry. But I don't ask you people to be sorry. I ask for you to do your job. And you're,
John, I need you to...
I know. But look, this is enough. I don't have to put up this crap.
We appreciate you coming and telling us, because this is the first that I've heard, we've heard of this. So we're gonna look into this.
I talked to him.
I understand.
You don't communicate?
We're going to have a conversation. So why don't you wrap up? I have others who want to speak.
Well, I'm going to tell you. I think it's horrible for 3.5 months to play that street when Caltrans was less than a month on Avila to Hyder on 101. Cornwall and Roy Grandy was less than a week, and you're been up there, and the three times that I've had to have the pump. Once I had Sears, I told you about the water situation, what they said. You got problems, and you need to take care of it. And I think that people that want to serve this city should find out what the problems are. Why should I have to go through it at my age? And an old lady that's an invalid. And I have to go turn the toilet and turn outside on Thanksgiving. You know, that is dysfunctional. It's the lady told me down at the since she was a teacher, sat in the waiting room. She said, you know, people that talk low are not sure of themselves. I said, I knew that, but I never wanted to say that. I wanted somebody to tell me that. So Greg Ray, you know, he needs to talk out. He needs to say, but he doesn't know what he's doing. He needs a refreshing course. But this kid here can put pipe underground, and you got people, you're paying a large amount of money, 20, 30, 40 years old, they don't know what they're doing. Have I been singled out? Why?
Thank you, John. I don't know if you've been singing out. Thank you for sharing that with us, and we'll look into this.
Should have had me in the beginning when other people could have heard about it. How great this town is. How dysfunctional.
Jan Olderholm.
Good evening. I'm Jan Olderholm, Grover Beach Parks and Recreation Committee.
Honorable Mayor Scholes and council members. We'd just like to review some things that have been going on with Parks and Recreation. Last Saturday, on December 5th, our Hawaiian holiday parade was a huge success. Probably more people than we've ever seen were out there enjoying the parade. We had about 56 different people who had entered the parade to be there. Everything was beautiful. The theme was great. The horses were beautiful. The people in costumes were great. The crowds were wonderful. The other thing that we've been doing is we went out and looked at our businesses to see who had done the decorating that we requested them to do. This year, we actually went to every single business in Grover Beach along Grand Avenue and gave them a written invitation to participate in the Holiday of Lights. We went out last Thursday night on the trolley, the RTA trolley, and looked at all of those businesses. And what we discovered was at least 40 businesses participated this year. That's up from 5 last year, a huge increase. And we're so proud of all of the businesses in Grover Beach for participating. We'd like to announce the winners. At 260 Grand Avenue, Shell Beach Floral was first place. At 1284 Grand Avenue, the Chevron Extra Mile, second place. At 1554 Grand Avenue, La Real Michoacana Ice Cream Shop, third place. All excellent displays. But we couldn't stop there this year. There were so many excellent entries that we decided that we would have some honorable mentions too. And in no particular order, at 583 Kins Automotive, at 1351 Velocity Tent, and at 1123 The Proud Pooch. So we'd like to give a big thank you to all of our local businesses for making our city sparkle. As a reminder to people in homes in Grover Beach, we'd like to say that the Holiday of Lights contest is on, and it's time for you to start decorating your homes. We will be out viewing homes Saturday, December 13th, and Sunday, December 14th, to get an idea of who needs to be nominated for the best lights in the city of Grover Beach. If you feel that we might have missed your home, it's okay for you to self-nominate your own home. Grover Beach is a very special place, and we appreciate your efforts to beautify our town with your holiday displays. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a
Why don't we hold on? Let me get through all the public comments.
I just have a quick clarification.
Okay.
So I think Saturday's the 12th and Sunday's the 13th, correct?
Okay. Whatever the correct
That's what she meant.
That's what I meant.
This Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm so whatever glad that you were paying attention.
Whatever
to what
those
I was
dates
saying.
Are.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis.
Well,
okay.
Thank you for doing that because I was paying attention too, but I was not going to bring it
up. Oh, okay. So Saturday, December 12th, and Sunday, December 13th. Thank you for
Very
the correction.
Good.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Those are all the speaker request forms that I have. I'm going to close the public communication. Bob, can you, a couple of things. Quickly, a status report on equestrian parking and just kind of hit some of the highlights because it's just what happens when the project takes so long. People forget what's been done and the efforts that we've made in trying to accommodate this particular use. Could you?
Yes.
Because you yourself are an equestrian, and I know you've been meeting with them. So.
That's correct. I am an equestrian and have used the same facilities throughout the years. Initially, just to remind the council, when we started through the entitlement phase of the application, the preferred site for the equestrian staging, as was mentioned, was south of Grand Avenue, and it was envisioned that the parking would be easily able to access the trails from that point. And the developer went so far as to agree to mitigate, I think, on a 2-to-1 replacement basis in terms of any dune loss. That proposal went forward to the Coastal Commission and unfortunately was denied, I should say, on a 5-4 vote. It was very close. The plan itself still does have equestrian parking. Equestrian parking will be included on the southeast portion of the lot. There'll be both a spot for large vehicles as well as equestrians. That doesn't mean that we have not cease our efforts at trying to find an alternate site. We're continuing to have discussions with the county and follow up with those as well as any other options that might develop. As the council's aware, Ms. Clark just recently wrote regarding a possible additional option, which we'll meet and review with state parks individuals. Relative to the crossing, I have the Public Works director looking at options to rough that up. I did think I had observed signs being out in front of both of those crosswalks, but I'll have someone double check that.
Okay, very good. And then just to add, the location that was proposed and not approved by Coastal Commission was also supported by city.
Right.
And also by state parks.
It's
critical. I think there was four of us, there were four groups advocating vehemently for that
right
layout. And so.
And that was actually the site that, as you indicated, was recommended and proposed by the city.
Yeah.
After our lengthy discussions with the equestrians, in which we did utilize their expertise in terms of actually designing that site.
Okay. And then I understand you will be meeting with the group?
Right.
And you'll report back to the right council on that?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. And then did you want to, on the same topic?
Yeah, on the same topic. If I can just add a question. I know Mr. Ray is looking at that. Can we add a time frame to that? Because I know we've had a number of
I would say at least a couple of weeks before I can have him identify the option.
Okay. Before the end of the year?
Before the end of the year.
And then maybe report out in January, since our last meeting in 2015 will be December the
21st.
Okay. And then can you, do we know what, you know, I'm sorry, Mr. Washington, I'm not sure why we continue to have a situation where his water has been impacted. I know there was a discussion of upgrading those lines, but I'm just wanting to know what's the, do we have any specifics? Because we're not targeting individuals, but I mean, I can understand his frustration, so.
First of all, as you indicated, there was an issue when that construction was first completed. And, in fact, we did actually authorize the compensation of a couple of repairs, which were done. And I think Cal Portland has tried to address the problem as well. When Mr. Wysong called me after Thanksgiving, I was unaware that he was totally without water. Anybody that is without water, whether it's a work day or a holiday, can always call the police department, and we have people available on call that can go out and take a look at it. One of the issues that, you know, when Mr. Wysong called, I indicated to him I would have the program manager, Mr. Hollenbeck, contact Cal Portland, because if he continues to have issues, it really ultimately is Cal Portland's liability, because they are the contractor, and was going to have him follow up on that. I've not had a chance to talk to him since I talked to Mr. Hollenbeck.
Okay, so please follow up on that, and let's make this some urgency. It seems to be a continuing issue, and rather than continue to wait and see what happens, the sooner they can get in there and explore and get this fixed for Mr. Wysong, the better off. Okay? And everyone's okay with that? Agree with that? Okay. Great. Thank you, Bob. Okay, so we're going to move on to, I guess, public hearing. We had one item, but I believe the city manager had said that this item is not ready to go and will be placed on an agenda. You're talking about January or February, somewhere thereabouts. Okay. So then let's move on to our consent agenda. This is basically an agenda where we take routine items and schedule them as a group. Do any members on the council want to pull any item from consent? I believe there are five items on consent tonight, and I'm not going to read them all by title. I think we all got it. So. No?
Seeing nobody want to pull anything, I'll make a motion that we approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, let's do a roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Motion carries. So let's move on to regular business. This is item number 7. If you are following along, this is a recommendations regarding playground equipment at Ramona Garden Park, and I believe the staff report is going to be presented by Recreation Program Director Petker.
Honorable Mayor, City Council members, good evening. This item is being brought to you as a result of the September 21st City Council meeting gave staff direction to ask for recommendations on a location reassessment for the playground equipment at Ramona Garden Park. And as you all know, and for the members of the audience, Ramona Garden Park is located between Ramona and Brighton Avenue, between 9th and 10th Streets, and it's surrounded by homes and businesses. It is located at the southeast corner of the park and is frequently used for city-sponsored special events and private rentals and meetings. Adjacent to the Ramona Center is the South County Transit Hub. The Parks and Recreation Department frequently receives requests for play equipment at the park during special events and year-round uses. Interestingly, when we're having summer concert series, parents come up and ask us for activities for children. So this was installation of a playground proposal for playground equipment would be a great complement for that park. As you can imagine, benefits of having play equipment include the opportunity for children to be playing outside and getting exercise. It's an opportunity to provide ADA accessible play components for that population and a great place for gathering for friends and family. Also the opportunity to remove turf, which would help us decrease water use in the park, and the opportunity for the community to have an opportunity to come together by building a project together. So based on this interest, this project was added as a CIP in the 2015 mid-year budget, and staff had applied for a grant and received it through the Nichols Foundation for $40,000. And in that time, staff reached out, and the commission had reached out, the Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission reached out to receive public input regarding the type of equipment and location, and also held a public workshop and received feedback at that time. And as you recall, the request at the time was the Southwest area, and when staff returned this to the commission, they did another meeting out at the park and reviewed the park grounds and assessed the grounds and came up with the recommendation of the Northeast area, and that was based on all of the items of use and year-round use and the City Council's direction to review and accommodate other users in the park year-round. So staff also met with Public Works Department, and we discussed the feasibility and the accessibility, the extent of the graving and turf removal and irrigation relocation in that upper area, and determined that that site in the upper area was a great opportunity because of the ADA access and the not as high slope and the opportunity to create seating in the retaining wall. So that looked to be a great proposal, and Parks, Recreation, Beautification is recommending that that be the location for the playground. And I do have some pictures of some previous staff report visuals if you would like to see, and you also have that in your attachments. And in terms of the fiscal impact, we're estimating that the entire project would cost approximately $75,000, And then $40,000 has been secured by the Nichols Foundation. We have received verbal commitments of $10,000 in donations and sponsorships. And then we also have approximately funds in our park construction fund, which is our facilities impact, our Quimby fees that we've received from the Green Park development. So staff is recommending that you approve the Parks Recreation Beautification Commission's location recommendation and authorize staff to proceed with the project. And be happy to answer any questions, and we have members of the commission in the audience if there's any questions of them as well.
Okay, thank you. Who's got questions? You have a question?
No, I don't have a question. I maybe a couple of comments, but I don't have any. Thank
okay.
you. That was a very clear presentation, and I really like the visual. Very helpful. Thank
okay.
you.
Karen, no questions?
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Okay. To my right, any questions?
One question.
Councilmember Nichols.
You mentioned the ADA accessible play components. What kind of play components are you referring to?
Essentially, if you have a playground structure, there's a main frame, and then you add components on the ends. So one component could be a slide, one component could be a climbing bar, and an ADA accessible component would be something that's lower level for someone who could roll up in a wheelchair so that they could reach it at a lower level, okay. or actually roll up a ramp,
okay,
and actually have an interaction with a friend who's an able-bodied
okay.
person.
Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
Thank you for the presentation. Just a quick question with regards to the other information that was presented on the dais. Can you go through that real quick? Because it looks like there was a either a park survey, and it looks like the community had a clear idea where they would like it as well.
Yes, this supplemental information that you have is a survey that was taken on one of our concert series that our commissioners recommended, and our Commissioner Cooper was the one who actually conducted the survey and spent the afternoon talking to many groups throughout the park. And what you see here is a summary of all the people that responded, and then they were asked several questions regarding what city that they resided in, what their purpose of the park use was, whether they brought children to the park or not, and then their recommended or preferred play equipment location area. So. And then the final results at the bottom are your upper area. 27 of them said the upper area, the lower area, and then near the library. So those results are 27 in the upper, 7 in the lower, and 2 near the library. So,
So which then leads to my next question of the work that the city engineer did with regards to the grading activities and so forth in the upper right hand or the northeast corner versus someone had reminded me the other day that I had made a comment previously about possibly putting the equipment near the picnic table. So in kind of an area that's, I believe, currently bare dirt. Was that site looked at from a, and I'm kind of more asking from a construction cost standpoint, because obviously the Ramona gazebo has an accessible path to it, which would then make an accessible path to the area near where that area is, so that we could potentially have more equipment because of less construction cost versus the northeast portion where we might have less equipment because of some larger construction costs. So was that discussed, or how was that addressed?
Just to clarify, the area at the Cleaver, at the Clifford and Mary Lee Clark corner, and the dirt area was not recommended to be on the dirt area. It was recommended to be several feet out into the grassy area of that lower quadrant. Because we cannot go under the crown of the oak trees, the trees were not, they're so established that they're legacy oak trees that we would have to remove one to get playground equipment in that area. But yes, the construction of an ADA accessible from the north 10th side would be costly. And that the private side of the Clark property parking lot, that access, we would have to get permission on that private property to access from that direction. So if we created an ADA pathway from North 10th all the way across the park, that the grading and the leveling and, you know, more than 2% would be exceptionally expensive.
But towards that, isn't there an accessible path to the gazebo? And then you could access the playground equipment, obviously the tree issue notwithstanding, so you could access the area from the gazebo to the playground equipment in that vicinity.
The grade, we were told, was too high. That the grade was more than 2% for ADA access from the gazebo. If you're talking about if you're at the lower level near where the band set up for the concerts and going up that path, that is too steep.
Then we have other issues.
No, I mean if you want to...
Okay, I will leave it at that.
Yeah.
So that might be a further discussion at a different point with regards to the what's happening at the park. So, but the, understanding the tree, accessibility of the tree and removing that oak tree becomes problematic to putting the equipment there, even though I think in my mind that's still the best location for it, but there's obstacles.
So then that kind of leads into my question. I'm just, you know, I read the staff report and the way I think most people know how I think, I'm a recovering planner and I know that the commission had to look at multiple sites, so I'm just a little... I was just wondering why I didn't see a matrix that had three locations, and were there site selection criteria? I mean, so what was it? Were, like, feasibility, accessibility, restroom, proximity, safety, engineering costs, and then you talked about tree removal, so I was just wondering, was there a process to go through to really rule in or rule out sites as opposed to a survey from 36 people, 11 of which say they reside in Grover Beach. So I'm just curious.
Yes, absolutely, Mayor. The commission did review all of those criteria, and that was what our special meeting actually reviewed, in addition to the approximately 200 people who were surveyed. And the public works review and the city engineer also reviewed the sites. So all of that information was brought to the commission at their special meeting on the 16th.
But it's not in our packet. It's not in our staff report.
I just referred to it in the special meeting that they held. As a result of the council's direction on September 21st, they held their special meeting to take it back to the commission.
If I may, Mayor?
Yes.
I happened to go to that special meeting and walk through the site process with them, with the commissioners, and they were very thorough in evaluating sites closer to the public restroom access and that sort of thing. And the pros and cons of running into conflict with the concert people, the area that Jeff was looking at, the private homes of elderly right there, that would be a hardship for them to have children's noises all day long. There were a lot of things... pointing to the Brighton and 10th Street side.
Okay.
But it was thoroughly investigated, and I know that they did their due diligence insofar as follow-up on the construction costs and that sort of thing.
Okay. I'm just saying it's lacking in this report, and there's no reference to it, so therefore it is not necessarily part of our public record from this council. So I just, you know, I'm not taking exception to the location as recommended. What my concern is that I'd like to see how sites were ruled in or ruled out, and you arrived at this conclusion and this recommendation. And then I didn't know if the representative from the Nichols Foundation had an opportunity to weigh in into that process.
Yes, she actually attended our commission meeting, and it was reflected in our minutes that she was there to support the process. And she was also had verbally stated that, you know, there may be additional funding if needed based on location. So we're keeping her in the loop fully.
Okay. And then you referred to Quimby fees, and can you just restate what's the how much have we collected from the largest development in the city currently ongoing?
I don't have the exact number of how much we've collected. I do know that I have a budget of approximately $40,000 for the equipment, $10,000 for site preparation, $5,000 for our installation, and $15,000 for our surfacing. So our parks construction fund, we would possibly need to use $20,000, and I'm confident that we have more than that in terms of checking with our administrative services director earlier. We're above that amount.
Okay, but you don't have a specific amount tonight.
I don't know the balance of that.
Bob, do you know?
I believe it's $174,000. I looked at it today.
Okay. So we have access to $174,000, and if this is a council chooses to move forward with the recommendation as given by Park and Recs, then we would probably need to come back and talk about how do we fund this, because I think at the very least, the Nichols Foundation was very generous, and if we have the resources, we should at the very least match that. I think that that shows them that we are willing to match that commitment.
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. One of the things that I would suggest is that before the project fully moves forward, we develop a more refined budget and identify what the sources are.
Okay. So what I'm going to do at this point, this is a business item, but I am going to open this up to the public. Is anyone from the public that would like to come forward and address this item? I see Ms. Brown's got her hand up back there.
But to me, it sounds like it's really the location is a win-win. We will have a wonderful play area for the children while still maintaining and considering all the wonderful activities that we have going on in the park right now, including the special events, including the concerts, including group activities. So I think it's even more. I think that the location is good. I'm not getting John's problem with the report, but I think we should go.
Okay. Is there anyone else?
My name is Jerry Roseborough, and I am proudly serving as one of your Park and Recreation Commissioners. And I just want to stand on behalf of one who did contribute and whose suggestion we did review. And in our enthusiasm for this project, it is quite obvious that we could have been a little more detailed, but I think we were trying to be generous with time and sort of crunched it all. And so I do understand some of the frustrations of not having specifics about who all contributed to our final suggestion. But I want to thank the chief of police, who was kind enough to meet with me one-on-one, and who suggested the Southwest Quadrant was very solid specifics relative to close accessibility to bathrooms, the recreation room, the transit line. We looked at all of that. We took into consideration all of those kinds of aspects that would have to be addressed in order to look at that site. So we went from quadrant to quadrant, a lot of it based on input from our fellow citizens. And again, this one specific one was contributed by our chief of police. We thank everybody who came forth and made suggestions.
Great, thank you. Okay, seeing no one else come forward, I'm going to close this to the public, and let me clarify. I'm not saying I don't like the location and I have a problem with it. All I'm saying is that there was a conclusion reached, and I would like to normally see what was the basis of that decision. I think that's the least we can ask of staff and anyone presenting a report to this council. So, and then, okay. I wasn't sure. I was going to acknowledge Ms. Cameron, who is here, and for her generous contribution. I didn't want the night to go forward without at least acknowledging and saying thank you very much for that. That contribution to this community, I know she's done a lot, and we really appreciate it. So let's see where the council is on this item. And any more discussion? Anyone wants to form a motion?
I have a couple of comments.
Oh, that's right. Councilmember Shaw.
I think I went to the first meeting and actually suggested moving it down closer to the restroom, which I hope didn't hold up the whole project for this long, because then they had to look at everything else. But, you know, I've talked to a lot of people since, and people like that upper location because of the visibility, because you can sit almost anywhere in the park and have an eye on it. If you were kind of looking, you could look back at the concert and then look back at your kids, or maybe sit sideways. I do kind of agree with the point that Jeff was trying to make, because I was in the park this weekend after the parade, and I was just looking at that bare area with the trees, and knowing that most of the time it's vacant, or if anything, it tends to be a vagrant, and it just seems very underutilized, and I wish so much that it could be utilized in another way. One thing I might suggest, because I don't want to hold up such an amazing project any longer, if we can help it, is go forward with the park in the area recommended. But perhaps in the future, maybe we could just have a few swings there or something like that that might not interfere with the trees and would get a few people over there or something like that. Because my only other comment was that I would like, as the council, to weigh in once we do go into the nitty-gritty of picking equipment, because I know there have been surveys of kids, and I think I spoke with Kathy or Nora, sorry, I can't remember, it was a while ago, about a new swing that's come out where I had some pictures of it in my folder, so where an adult can sit, and then a child, you just swing, and a child swings in front of you, which I thought was kind of cool. And also going along with the ADA suggestion, we don't have anywhere in the Five Cities area that I can think of the ADA accessible swings where, you know, an older child that may not be able to hold themselves up on a swing, kind of like a large baby swing. There aren't any of those in the Five Cities area, and that seems like something we could do in Grover Beach to be unique and uniquely accessible. And I know one idea you guys had talked about at your very first meeting was outdoor adult exercise equipment. And I did, since that time, see something similar at Cuesta College that they have set up. And I just thought that was such a neat idea, because so many of the people that use the park are adults, too. So I would want something for them, too, because you do get a lot of kids at Grover Heights Park because they naturally go back and forth to the school. But I would like there to be things that everybody would use there, so that even during the day when kids are in school, it's still useful. So that's my comments.
Okay. Someone prepared to make a motion? Or more discussion?
I'll go ahead and make a motion if there's no other comments, but I do want to just make a comment that I am supportive of the location that's brought forward as well. My my thought of trying to go towards the other location was to trying to maximize the opportunity for the donation and appreciate the donation from the Nichols Foundation. It's just I realized that if this is the best spot for us moving forward to get a playground out there as expeditiously as possible, but I do recommend echo, I guess is the correct word, your sentiments about making sure we have the available and adequate information in our staff reports from that standpoint. But all of that said, I'll make a recommendation that we approve the Parks and Rec Beautification Commission recommended location for installation of play equipment and authorize staff to proceed with playground equipment project at Ramona Garden Park I'll specifically say in the northeast quadrant.
Okay. Second. So there's a motion and a second. Any additional discussion on the motion? The only thing I wanted to bring up is I think staff had talked or the city manager talked about once the council takes action that they would come back with a refined budget and then we can look at if there are funding sources and opportunities to fund this project completely rather than going out and doing a bunch of bake sales. If we have the resources and this is a community desire and value, then we need to find a way to make it happen sooner rather than later. Okay, so I guess the staff understands that's the direction we're going. There's a motion on the floor. Donna, when you're ready, let's do a roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes, so the motion carries 5-0. And at this point, we're going to take a 9-minute break. Let's be back at 8 o'clock. We're going to reconvene the Grover Beach City Council meeting on Monday, December 7th, and I believe we concluded item number 7. When we finished up, we were now going to go to item number 8, and this is the first quarter review for the fiscal year 16 budget. City Manager Peralt.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. As you've indicated, this is the first quarter review of the FY16 budget. By way of background, the FY16 budget, as you know, was adopted in June of 2015. The first quarter actually ended on September 30th. By policy, the council takes a look at the budget quarterly. And at the first quarter, the mid-year, and generally the third quarter as we're going into new budget production. The intent of the first quarter review is to take an initial look at revenues and expenditures to determine what kind of trends are being set in place. Just please keep in mind that these are pretty preliminary figures at this point. The city doesn't receive a majority of its revenues until much later in the year, so this is based on initial information. Normally, this review takes place in November. However, this year, it was delayed in order to allow me to complete my management review of the figures. I completed that review in late November, and consequently, it is in front of you tonight. I'll take a look at the major funds that you're probably most concerned about. We'll start with the general fund. The general fund revenues, as adopted by the council, was $8,597,939, and the expenditures were $8,565,987. As adopted, the budget was balanced. There was actually a very slight positive amount projected to be left over at the end of the year. keeping in mind that there was a reserve expenditure already contemplated of $137,000 for the financial upgrade. Since that time, there have been a number of budgets, changes to the budget. Several of these were anticipated and actually began occurring in early July. These adjustments are listed to highlight them. There was the adjustment for organizations. This is where we actually pay to support various different organizations in the community. There was also the included in this First Amendment was the adjustment for the management partners organizational audit and the recruitment for my replacement. Contractual obligations were primarily labor negotiations and then the approval of the position of the associate engineer, which was funded from a variety of different funds, including the general fund at $60,000. Labor agreements have been approved to the in the amount of $30,565, and there is pending improvements of $72,550. The reason this number is large is that it we have a pending agreement with the POA. They are the single largest employee working group in the general fund. Fortunately, in the general fund, we've seen that revenues have been improving, and this associated with the cost savings will help to balance the budget. Revenues are trending up. Overall, revenues are about $80,280, we estimate, to the good. Actually, I would expect that this will continue to increase as we go throughout the year. We're seeing both stronger property tax revenues as well as an increase in sales tax. I believe during the last Friday letter, I distributed a sales tax update that indicates sales tax is continuing to steadily grow. Even having said that, conservatively, at this point, I would estimate the deficit at the end of the year to be about $100,000. Although, as I've indicated, I remain optimistic that we'll continue to be able to save money and grow revenues to a point where I really expect that the general fund will be balanced by the end of the year. We'll get a better update of that when you review the mid-year, which will be in February. Cost savings are largely in the personnel area. It'll offset some of the adjustments, and those are largely due to some of the vacancies that we're currently having. We haven't filled the associate engineer's position yet, and there are some vacancies in the police department, but and we are incurring some overtime costs associated with that, but the revenue or the cost savings should still continue to outstrip the increases. Water fund, this is the issue of a major area of concern. Revenues as adopted were $2,667,253, and expenditures were budgeted at $3,669,940. Obviously, from the very beginning, we identified a deficit. Largely, that is due our revenues are off by 20 to 25%, largely due to conservation. Obviously, as indicated, an adjustment and a rate study is needed. The rate study had hoped to have it completed earlier. I'm in the process of working on the RFP as we speak and expect to have it out by the end of the month. Having said that, it means that we're probably looking at not getting back to the council until probably sometime in mid-spring with the results of that rate adjustment review or rate study. I should say that the rate study will be fairly comprehensive. It'll include not only the tier system to ensure that it continues to make sense as far as state law is concerned. It will also take into account capital needs, both existing as well as long-term, and it will also evaluate where we sit in terms of our in terms of our reserve policy. Our reserve policy right now is 10% of the operating budget, which obviously $3 million, 10% of that figure is $360,000, which isn't a very deep deep reserve. Without adjustment, obviously the problem is we'll continue to use reserves. We started off the year a little bit better than $1 million in reserves. Would expect that most of that would be depleted by the end of the year without adjustment. There's a couple of options to consider. There's a list of public project capital projects I provided you in the staff report. We could consider delaying the meter replacement program, of which has been budgeted at $140,000, and we could defer the reservoir maintenance until next year, which has been budgeted at $100,000, and that would give you some cushion. Another option is to adopt a surcharge of 20% to offset conservation impact. This has been done by several other communities. However, you know, it's not time expedient. It requires a Proposition 218 hearing as well, which is a 45-day notice. Based on that, you would probably only realize about $100,000 to $150,000 additional revenue by the time you got to the end of the year. There is one additional option I thought of that I did not indicate in the report. Another option would be to structure some kind of short-term interfund loan between either sewer or the general fund to make up any operational difference in the water fund, should that be necessary. That's another thought that I had in mind. The wastewater fund. The wastewater fund is performing just basically as we thought. Revenues are $2,169,561. Expenditures are at $2,183,951. Revenues over expenditures are at this point all but balanced. We expect them to come in very close to what you see here. Most likely this budget will be balanced by the end of the year. If not, there are sufficient reserve funds to cover any particular shortfalls. I, as attached per the council's request, I developed a review of tasks and goals, and can go into those items or answer questions however you prefer. And obviously, if there are any questions, I can answer those as well on the base report. The intent of this report is not to request any direction at this point. It's simply to receive and file. And that concludes my staff report.
Okay, thank you, Bob. So just a clarification, so you're just saying this is receive and file.
Right.
You identified options, so at what point would you be looking for council
direction? Probably mid-year. Mid-year I'd bring those back. Obviously, the one issue is, and the council may want to talk about it, providing direction is always an option that you have. If you prefer any one of those options, we could certainly take that.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Let's see if there's any questions for staff. Any questions on my right? Yeah, for Tim.
Just one question. I noticed on the fourth slide, the labor agreement pending.
Yes.
The number is larger than in the staff report. Is that just because of refinement?
Actually, if you add those figures up, they should come very close. There's a little bit of you approved one of those tonight, and one of those is yet to go.
Okay.
And so that's really the difference.
Okay. So does the first quarter revenues, does it anticipate a development increase in fees received, or do those offset expenses?
Those generally offset expenditures, although we should see the Holiday Inn permits coming in over the next quarter, and those were anticipated in the budget.
Okay, so while there has been an increase in development revenues, it's being offset by expenditures.
Right.
Okay. So you'd mentioned that you would be looking for some direction possibly at the mid-year.
If the council wishes to give me some sense of direction, that's possible too.
And I'm not sure if now's the time to discuss questions with regards to the rate study, because obviously that is what I see as the kind of the red flag issue with regards to funding. So I don't know if we want to have that discussion.
Well, obviously, if you have questions on it,
yeah.
Go ahead and ask those. So
would you wouldn't anticipate that the rate study would be available at the mid-year review?
No. Okay. It's going to take probably until January to bring on the consultant. It'll take to April to get the recommendations from the count to the council.
Okay, so then from a timing standpoint, there is that with that we'd be looking at revenues coming in about the first of the fiscal year then.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I know we have a management audit kind of moving its way through as well. I don't know if that's this review is the appropriate time to ask it as to where that stands in coming forward.
I'll ask the city attorney to address it since he's been in contact with management partners.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, Council members. I have been in contact with them. They are working on finalizing a draft. There will be some discussion with the city manager and myself, and we expect to have something to you. January 22nd was the date that was given to me for a deliverable. So obviously that will be an item that you will have an opportunity to review in closed session. We'll be dealing with it in that fashion as part of the city manager recruitment process.
Okay, so we're looking at an additional 6 weeks before we have a draft document?
Something that is for council's consumption, yes.
Okay. Is that meeting the time frame of what
yes,
we
are,
expected?
Yes, we are definitely within the projected time frames.
Okay. Those are all the questions I have. I do have some comments or discussion, I guess, on the goals.
Okay. So, yeah, I want to hold off on those, and I'm thinking instead of having Bob go through each one of the goals and the status, we'll just take questions from council members. So, Councilmember Bright, do you have any questions?
I just have one, actually, at this point. Regarding the implementation of a drought surcharge adjustment of 20%, you're suggesting 20% of what?
That would be the 20% of the water.
Just the water portion.
The water portion, and that would be just the water sale.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Shaw, anything?
One question I had when I was looking through the exhibit or attachment one, looking at status, one of the things that was in the status was updating parking standards. And going along with that, something people bring up to me a lot, and I know it's an idea that's been gone over, and I don't know if it's worth looking at again, but could someone just say why we can't reduce the speed limit on Grand, because people are asking me that a lot.
So, City Attorney, Police Chief, you both want to tag team this?
Certainly. From a city attorney standpoint, unless the speed limits are measured and posted subject to warrants, which are specific studies, if they are not in compliance with those warrants, they get thrown out of court. I'll turn it over to you.
And the city manager is, or city attorney is correct. The measurements that have to be taken are the speed measurements, and 85th percentile is where everything is, where it comes in at. So if over 85% of your cars are doing 40 miles an hour, that's now basically you're going to be your new speed limit, and so forth. So if you wanted to reduce the speed limit and you take that measurement, then that's the speed limit you're going to be. The other thing is environmental factors weigh into it with an engineering study that can be used in to show whether there's curbs or guttering or, you know, the lanes aren't wide enough or so forth. I know in the past from our studies that we do with the police department and radar trailer and so forth, we found that most of the vehicles were traveling within the posted speed limit on Grand Avenue.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, just yes. To amplify that, if you remember what it was about 4 or 5 years ago, we actually did have a engineer survey completed, and they indicated that, as the chief noted, that the variance from the speed limit was relatively minimal on the high end, but where that was occurring was where there were no public improvements, and that is one of the reasons that the council decided with the Grand Avenue to put the islands in, and that helps to restrict the traffic speed in those locations.
That's correct.
Thank you. I just had one other question from that exhibit, mentioning an economic development strategy, and that we have $60,000 in grant funding to work on that. Do you think we'll have time to do that by September 2016?
I think that really depends on where the council places it as a priority. It wasn't called out in one of the goals or the work tasks specifically. There's a lot that we're working on besides that. There is a time frame ticking with it in. And we do have the $60,000 available to us. It's a matter of selecting the consultant to get it completed. The original, the economic development strategy we did complete was done in 2008, if I'm not mistaken. So it's about 7 years old now. And a lot of it was tied to infrastructure programs, and we've made a lot of progress on completing some of those goals, so it may be useful to have it updated.
Would the $60,000 cover all of it, or would we have to supply more money?
Ultimately, that's what the estimate is. You know, it's really it determines on what the market produces in terms of the RFP. There would also be some administrative costs associated with it, okay, and time.
All right, thank you. That's all my questions.
Okay, thank you. Bob, I know that you had suggested one option was to delay or put off a couple of projects, the meter replacement program and the reservoir maintenance. Are there any implications on that, or do we have that kind of latitude?
Well, with the deferral on the maintenance on the reservoir, yeah, for okay, probably a year, not much longer than that, because they do need to be resurfaced on a regular basis, or you could end up with other kinds of difficulties. The meter replacement program, it obviously helps with the efficiency of our meter reading system, and the intent was to provide or change out at least 10% of the meters per year, and this just delays that replacement by a year. That doesn't mean that we won't be replacing some meters. As we find those that aren't working, et cetera, we'll replace it as the need demands.
Okay. And then just for clarification, you were talking about a short-term inter-fund loan, you think from wastewater, and just to get us to the end of the fiscal year?
That would be most likely my recommendation.
Okay, thank you. Those are my only questions. Let me open this up and see if there's anyone from the public that would like to address this item. No? Okay. Seeing no one come forward, let me close it to the public and bring it back to the council. So who wants to start some discussion? You have some discussion?
I had some discussion, yeah, and actually I had one question that I apologize I should have asked beforehand, and this has to do with the financial system upgrade. And I'm thinking I'm just reading this incorrectly, so I'm hoping staff can provide some clarification. It says that the time frame to have the system online is approximately 2 years, but I know there's a testing phase and so forth, so I'm assuming that's the entire system, not the portions you're working on now.
No.
No, the system's actually budgeted over a three-year time period. We're hoping to conclude it within 2 years. We are finding that it has been difficult to bring two modules up at once, which is what we started to do because of community development's module not really having a module in our current financial system. It's an outside system that no longer is being supported. And so we decided we were going to bring both of them up. We have found that's a little more difficult, but we're still within our time frames on bringing the modules in on a timely manner.
So towards that, if we're testing it, and testing is going to be completed by January, so why the extended time beyond that?
If I could, Gaelic, you can the what we'll have completed by January or February will be the general ledger and possibly community development shortly thereafter.
Right. Currently, we are very close to testing. Probably we'll start testing the budget to make sure the budget load I put in the system today and was very happy to get completed finally, to make sure that everything did post properly to the accounts. It's going to take some time to go through and just do some spot checking of that. For the community development module, business tax certificates are under that module. We are probably 2 to 3 weeks away from beginning testing. We need to do some major testing and making sure that items flow through. One thing we don't have with the current system is the ability to flow items from department to get checks. So for business tax certificates, if somebody needs a massage permit, we can flow that over to the police department, make sure that the person has done everything they need to do with regard to massage permits. They would in turn put their stamp of approval on it and send it back to us so that we can then continue processing. So we have to get all of those processes in place, make sure they're working properly. I'm sure that after the first set of testing that we will have tweaking that needs to be done before we can bring the modules online.
So when is staff going to be able to use this?
We are hoping early to mid-spring. So I'm hoping for April 1st, but if it's up by May 1st, I will be thrilled.
You mean 2016, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Just and then there's,
once we're completed with this, we still have payroll and utility billing that are left.
Okay. And then I have comments, but I don't know if you want to. I can go forward and continue those if you like.
Keep going.
Okay. So, and most of my next comments are have to do with, ironically, construction items, where a number of the status items have bid award in particular dates, but it doesn't provide an update as to what the community really wants to know is when are we going to build stuff. And so I would ask that that staff keep that in mind when they provide information, because as they provide it to us, they're also providing it to the community.
Great point.
So which then, I don't know if, Bob, if you can update us on when, like, Oak Park is going to be moving forward. I know you see, I see bid process to be completed in 2016, but when will our construction anticipated to begin? Obviously, taking out the weather situation, and then do you have an update on when Phillips 66 is going to be starting their work?
I would anticipate that our construction probably should occur in March if that's 2016 is approximate award date. Council date, I think, is a little bit later than that in February. We have to allow at least 30 days for mobilization. Phillips 66, latest information is that they should be started shortly after the first of the year. I'll be communicating with them and passing along council's strong statement that they need to be out of the way. We're aware of that, and I'm not beyond pulling the encroachment permit for them if they fail to do that. Now, that's obviously something I don't want to do. The reason that they were delayed was that actually they did some rescheduling of construction that involved getting into a creek on the other side, on the Pismo side of the and you may have seen some of that construction. So, but that was their decision, obviously not ours.
Just as long as they don't come back and dig up our brand new streets.
Yes. They'll have to find a new route.
Yeah, they will.
Okay. And I have one more comment. And in a couple locations in the report, it says that work has been delayed this year due to staff workload. And I just wanted to reiterate something that you, Mr. Mayor, had said previously, is that the information that we can act on is based upon what staff provides us. So if there's not adequate resources, or if you feel that you don't have adequate resources, that needs to be shared with us so that we can then make policy decisions and prioritizing decisions so that staff can then accomplish the goals and so forth. So I just wanted to
agree
and kind of indicate that as a gentle reminder.
Agreed. Any other comments?
I had a couple.
Sure.
Later on down the road, decide whether we're going to delay maintenance or do a drought surcharge, that maybe we could do a little combination of the two and have maybe a smaller drought surcharge or something like that. But I think whatever we would do in that vein, there would have to be ample explanation to people, and that would be
there actually is a study required. So, you know, waiting for the 218, that may not, in essence, buy you any time.
Okay. And then just as I was looking through the goals paperwork, I saw under number two with the streets, develop a comprehensive sidewalk improvement plan, that work has not been initiated.
That's true.
I know it's so hard. We have so much going on. But I think that you guys are doing this anyway with the Public Works Department. But at least the streets, as they're under construction, the ones that are already ripped up, I'm hoping at least those sidewalks are considered at that time and looked at, and where could we possibly make, you know, what if there's just one house? I see some areas in my walks where there's just one house. If that those people had a sidewalk, are those type of things being considered at least on the streets as they're being fixed?
That's kind of labor intensive in terms of one house at a time. Mr. Mayor, you?
Yeah, no, I go ahead and finish your.
I was going to say that the more productive way, and I think we've learned from the processing of the phase two streets, we'll be bringing those back to you probably in January or February before they'll be in design at that point, but that will give you a chance to at least comment, like you did on North 13th, mm-hmm. should there be any other streets that warrant that. But I would suggest that you consider, when making those decisions, that you consider making those decisions where they'll have the greatest impact. North 13th is obviously a good example of taking an opportunity to improve walkability. That doesn't exist with all of our residential streets.
Mm-hmm. Right. I just, as long as we're keeping that in mind as where we can, I know that there might not be time for a huge comprehensive plan, but it makes sense to do it during construction, so I hope we can keep that in mind. The other thing I noticed then on the goal number five, it says, partner with Five Cities Homeless Coalition and other nonprofits to assist with homeless services, and it says the staff hasn't met with the coalition. And I just wanted to bring up a project I've been working on with HSOC, and I've spoken to the chief about it, and I've also spoken to the Five Cities Homeless Coalition, and I think I brought it up at the last meeting, although it was so late I can't even remember at that time. But we're thinking of possibly having a MASH event here in Grover Beach in the spring, which is an event where tons of services are offered in one place, and people can come and sign up as needed. And that may be somewhere, if you are going to go that direction, something that we can all get behind in the spring in that vein, since it hasn't been started yet. And I spoke with Five Cities Homeless and some other homeless advocates, and they said as much as they'd love to do it before El Nino, the spring probably makes more sense because people are more focused right now on warming centers and whatnot. But I just wanted that to be known. It says with vacation rental ordinance that we haven't initiated work on the project. And Bob and I learned in a meeting last week that it's very likely that either the county or the state is moving toward regulating this on a more grand level. So
no.
Before, just because we are so busy, it may be. But with that being said, I have heard how troublesome those vacation rentals can be, and I would just like to remind, if anyone's watching, you know, noise ordinances still apply and all the laws still apply. So if someone is having an inconsiderate vacation ordinance, it's not like people have nowhere to turn, because I have heard stories like that. The last thing I wanted to comment on the status was just in the Parks and Rec area. It said assess our facilities, including the need for a senior center. And I was wondering if the Parks and Rec Department has, or if they could, look at our existing facilities to see if anything could be useful as a senior center. I know I've heard different things about how much the Trouville Center is utilized, and that space may need some upgrades soon. And maybe, depending on what the Parks and Rec Commission might find, it could make sense. Or maybe we have something that's existing that I don't know about, but maybe just having that looked at least as a first step, might be a good idea, because I see that also that's something we haven't been able to really get going on. So that's all my comments. Thank you.
Okay. So let me a few things. Nice staff reporter. I've been saying it all night tonight. So I think with respect to all the comments regarding on the specific projects, they're really good. I think the fact is that this is a quarterly report. You're going to come back with mid-year in January, February.
Yes.
We should also, at that point, let's revisit the goals and priorities. And then we can decide if ones we're making good progress on, and then the ones that we have not been able to start, is it a resource issue? And do we have the resources, or do we need to pull it from the list, or do we need to add something new to the list? I think that's a more comprehensive way to do it. I mean, I can speak directly to the sidewalk. I know that we budgeted $200,000 for that, but we really don't have a definitive policy as to, is that filling in gaps, is that, and I think, Bob, you're talking about putting in where you get the largest, biggest bang for your buck. So I think that's a discussion we have to have as a council and make the decision as a group. So my only other thoughts are, and I'm just going to put this out there because I know Davert talked about you're not looking for direction and just receiving file. When the moment I read a surcharge, I think I probably jumped out of my skin because I'm sitting there saying to myself, the residents and the business owners in this community were asked to conserve and save 10%. The governor came and said do 25%. We're at 28 to 30%. Now, I understand what comes with conserving water, using less means less resources, and I'm reluctantly going to agree moving forward with this rate study, but to say now I'm going to add a surcharge, another tax on you, I got a huge philosophical issue with that. So I don't know where the rest of the council is and when we have that conversation, but I want to go on record to say, you know, I'm fine taking a look at the rates, because especially with the ruling of the case against San Juan Capistrano and tiered rates. But I just, it's a tough one. So to that extent, I would say if we can delay these two projects, and I think you identified that as about a $240,000 savings, at least in the short term, we look at that, and then also the short-term water fund. So I don't know how everyone feels. I do want to get your temperatures on the surcharge, delaying these two projects, and a short-term water fund. So Barbara, you have any thoughts on those four?
I am just as concerned about slapping a $20 surcharge on top of what we've already done, what the public has already agreed to let us do. Mm-hmm. If there is another way around it, I'd like us to find it.
Okay. Karen?
I agree with that.
Okay. Miriam?
Yes.
Okay. Jeff?
I'm right there with you as well, and I also do agree that delaying the meter replacement program and the reservoir maintenance is an approach to take for until we can get a mid-year update with regards to that. The utility rate, one of the things I know that we had put into that discussion was almost a different or an opportunity to discuss a different billing style. So because of the tiered, so do you do the do you find out what the debt service is? There's your base rate, and then based upon what your water usage is, there's your water charge. So it's you've got a flat rate possibility for all of the infrastructure, and then if you're a water saver, your bill is lower. If you're a water user and you're desirous of using that for whatever reason, then your bill becomes a little higher, but at least it's a pay-as-you-go type of system. And I think that we had kind of part of that discussion, okay, and to include that is within the rate study.
Okay, great. So I think we are good with the information that's presented by staff. And I think we've given a little additional direction, Bob, on those. And I think you got those.
Yes.
Martin, are we good without a – we don't need to do a roll call or vote on this since we're giving staff direction? Okay, very good. Thank you. So then let's move on to item number 9. So this is the appointment of a mayor pro tem for the upcoming year. And I don't know if we need a staff report on this.
Very briefly, Honorable Mayor, Council members, every year the mayor, pursuant to resolution adopted in 2008, appoints a vice mayor or mayor pro tem from the remaining members of the council to serve for a period of 1 year from December to December. And with that, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. So I think I had heard from one person and then regarding this position. So is there anyone else? And it was the mayor pro tem. Is there anyone else interested in serving in this capacity, or are you guys good with status quo? I'm going to try to get a sense.
Good Lord,
you're looking
no.
At me.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think I would like to do it, but I think having only done this a year, I think I would like to have at least kind of one more year to get acclimated.
I think that's fair. Karen, any thought?
I think Jeff's been doing a great job. He certainly has my vote.
Okay. So I think I got the gist of where the rest of the council is going with this. So, Jeff, are you still willing to serve in this capacity?
At your pleasure.
All right. Is it just I need to just appoint him? We don't need to do. Okay. But I think we got consensus, so you got the job.
Thank you very much.
But I don't give raises, so.
However, on a tongue-in-cheek note, Donna, can I have more cards? Thank you.
You must be handing those. Who are you handing those cards out to? All right, let's move on. I know we can get out of here by 9, I think that would be great. So item number 10, I asked the city manager to bring this back, and the reason being is that the last time it came to us, it was at the end of a special meeting, and I continue to say that this is a county project and that I am not on any negotiation teams with PG&E, and in fact, it's a letter of interest. However, I realize that over the past many years, I've been very conservative in my decision-making, so while there is not technically a conflict of interest, I am going to ask that my vote be expunged from the previous letter and that I'm going to recuse myself from the discussion tonight, and I think that is just being consistent with where I've been in the past. So at this point, I'm going to turn this over to the Mayor Pro Tem, and I'm going to go find some water
and
or some chocolate.
Just for the record, for those who may not know, and the reason for that is because you're an employee of PG&E.
I'm an employee of PG&E. Thank you.
As your newly reappointed Mayor Pro Tem, thank you. So, logistical question for our city attorney as the mayor is leaving the chambers is when he said expunge his vote previously, do we need to take a vote on that?
You do not.
Okay, great. Okay, so then I will turn this over to staff for a presentation.
Yes, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. As the council will recall, we brought this item to you last meeting. I guess it was last regular meeting. And the intent of the meeting was to respond to a letter we had received from Mr. Horton, who is the Public Works Director, relative to participation or interest in participation in the desal plant program that the county is working with PG&E in developing. And as I understand it, it essentially would be using water that is already desalinated at the plant, doing further treatment of that water, and then finding a way to transmit it into the Zone 3 system. I understand that there has been some discussion at the Zone 3 level relative to this project, and is what the county is asking for is an expression of interest. And in developing the initial language of this letter, I used the council's comments completing my draft. Since that time, actually the Mayor Pro Tem has made some suggested recommendations, and those are on the dais for your review. Certainly it is up to the council as to how you want that letter finalized, and staff's recommendation at this point is that the council take action on the letter itself. There's good reason to have it come back to ensure that the letter encapsulizes the thoughts of the council and then authorizes the signature for the letter so it can be transmitted to the county in keeping with their December 15th time frame. That concludes my staff report.
Great. Thank you for that staff report. Is there any questions? We'll start to my right.
I haven't had a chance to read the editing here, but it looks good.
Okay. Any questions to my left?
Nope.
Okay, great. I did just have one kind of point or purpose of why I made some of the corrections or the modifications to the letter is in looking at Mr. Horton's letter, it's actually from the flood control district. So I changed the county to the flood control district. Semantical difference, but they are actually two different entities. And I did have a discussion this morning, as I'll represent, I am a county employee, as well known. And although there is not a reason to recuse myself on this, I would actually perhaps just to have any note of concern removed, might have some consensus on having the city manager sign the letter rather than me. So That would just be one other minor modification, just if there's any feelings on that. But I'm more than happy to sign the letter if that's the preferred alternative. So
I don't see any reason why we can't authorize the city manager to sign the letter.
Okay.
Agreed, sure.
Okay, great. This is a business item, but I will open it up to the public to see if there's anyone who wanted to speak on the matter. So.
Well, I was going to ask the very question you answered.
Okay.
As far as possible conflict.
Okay. Then. Okay, perfect. Then, seeing no one else come forward, I'll bring this back to the council for discussion and or a motion.
Well, if there's no discussion, I'll make a motion. That we authorize sending a letter signed by the city manager to the flood control district.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And implicit in that motion was the amended version of the letter?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So on that note, Mr. Mayor, if you could join us again. And as he makes his way back to the dais, I'll ask the question, since we're going to be sitting as our housing successor agency, do we need to
recess as the or at this point adjourn? No. Oh, the housing, not the finance authority. Yes. One more item on the housing agency. Yeah. No, you don't need to do anything.
We don't need to do anything?
We recognize that you're sitting as the housing successor agency.
Okay, so then we could just move into item number 11. And we don't need a roll call. We're good. Okay. City Attorney, I think you're giving the staff report on this item.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. The item is before you in your capacity as the Housing Successor Agency. In cities, low and moderate income housing fund, there exists inventory of two pieces of property which were purchased by the former redevelopment agency from the city. As you know, the redevelopment ceased to exist in the state of California, and the council retained its function as the housing successor agency to retain a control over the low and moderate income housing fund, as well as any properties that may be still subject to this. Oh, this one. Okay, thank you. I apologize. Okay, that's different. The two properties are listed on the slide in front of you. One is on Farrell Road near 10th Street. The other one is on Hillcrest near the city water tank facility. The first one was subject to the Vernon project, which was approved by the council, and unfortunately, just as the project was moving forward, the redevelopment hit and the project could not be completed. The property was retained by the housing agency. Again, unfortunately, due to the strange topography of that property and the size of it, any attempt to do a low and moderate income housing project would include serious contributions from the successor agency fund, from the low and moderate income housing fund. I will remind you that under the terms of the old project, that property was given to the developer at no cost, and also some substantial payments towards the development impact fees were part of the agreement. The property can be, and it is right here depicted on the overhead, the property can be marketed as a basically a market value property, and the funds can be, if sold, the funds can be retained and put into the fund to be used for other purposes, whether it's the another project or some support for loans or silent seconds. The second property is the Hillcrest property, which, as you will recall, was created and sold to the city. It's up on near the water water tanks on the Hillcrest site. It's depicted on the overhead with the red outline. That property was transferred to the redevelopment agency with the hope to create or purchase an easement from an adjoining property that lies south of that piece. That is a church, as I recall. And negotiations for easement access to that property did not materialize, at least not at the time when this was all being considered. So the only access to that piece would be through the city site. Some kind of an easement would have to be granted by the city. Granting of any such easement would include some potential risks to security on the site. These are city facilities, as well as some towers that are being leased from the city. So logistics of granting access would be tricky at best. The site would logically, at least based on staff's review and recommendation, the most logical use for the site would be to have it repurchased and merge back with the city parcels, so that site remains the property of the city and can be used by the city for future purposes. Basically, we're here before you to get direction on, first of all, if you wish us to move forward with liquidating these properties, if you wish us to consider trying to market them for a project. Staff's recommendation is that you direct us to move forward with, on the first property, the one on Vernon and 10th, Farrell and 10th, that you allow us to market that and take the funds that are gained by that and use those in the low and moderate income housing fund for other purposes. With regard to the second piece of property, the one by the water tanks, staff's recommendation based on the, again, location and a lack of easement is that we merge that, purchase that back from the agency and merge it. The market value of that piece at this point in time is very likely nominal, and I think without access, it's not really marketable, and so purchase by the city would not be at a high amount. At least we would obviously have to obtain some fair market value idea of it, but I don't suspect that would be very high. With that, I'm ready to answer any questions.
Martin, do we have a photo that shows the church below, the area below that site?
I'm sorry, we don't. I apologize. I probably should have included that. There's a church. There's a larger area which at some point in time the church was talking about developing that's mm-hmm. between the church and that parcel. If you imagine immediately south, there's kind of an open area. And then further south, going towards which one?
Newport
is the street. Thank you, sir. There's a church kind of on the western side of the parcel. So an access would be run along the eastern border of the parcel. But again, at least at that time, we were not successful in obtaining an access.
On the diagram we have here, which is north, south, east, and west?
On this map, west is on the left side of the picture, east is on the right, north is on top, and south is on the bottom.
Yeah, north is up.
Yep.
And thanks for doing that, orienting the picture, too.
Certainly.
This is a geek in the planning geek in me, sorry. Be careful. Any questions?
I had one. In the report or in the presentation, it said the Farrell Road property would unlikely be successful due to parcel shape and topography. Low income housing groups like HASLO and People Self-Help Housing, they've all been consulted, and they agree with that finding.
Yeah. The originally, the when the project came before the city, it was marketed to all of those groups. And we, I believe we had three proposals or two. Three proposals. It was self-help. No, it wasn't. It was Vernon. It was Habitat for Humanity, and one other private investor. The site is so small that any number of units, if you were to put units on it, and then sell them at as a low mark, you know, low income unit. In order for the project to pencil out for a developer, there would have to be substantial gives or concessions supporting the project from the city. As far as a market site, you could potentially put very comfortably, I would think, two units on there, depending if they're joint or separate, and not need concessions from the city to develop a project. But certainly, if the council is interested in pursuing some actual lower moderate income housing project on that site, the staff is ready to follow your direction, and we can attempt to market that in that manner and retain the possession. The successor agency can retain the possession of the piece and market a project. Again, that would require a RFQ to go out and all the other things that are involved in it. So if that's the direction from the council, I would ask for patience and time, because it will take a little doing to get this going.
I guess my follow-up question then, because in one of our past reports, it said that in January we were actually going to be presented with an affordable housing type project. So I'm not sure what that's going to be, but would it be actually more helpful, or would we be more able to get said project done with this amount of money? Would that be, I guess the one issue I'm having is just, I don't want to sell off a potential project and keep having these tiny nominal amounts of money for affordable housing that we never can really do anything with because they're just too small.
Yeah. I think that what you're referring to, and I'm trying to remember, there is part of one of the CDBG grants contains a certain amount of money that needs to be spent on a low and affordable housing project. I believe that amount is $120,000. I may be off.
Actually, I think it's more than that. It's better than $200,000. Additionally, you also have that CERAF loan that's been paid off, which is another $200,000. So whatever you got from this property, if you chose to sell it, would augment those two other pots.
And
or
how
you
much
can
do
use
you
those pots to use to put money into this project. I mean, you can go either way.
Well, how much do you think we would get from the sale, or can you estimate?
It is difficult to say. I would venture to say that it would be somewhere between $100,000 and $150,000, but that's a complete swag.
Okay.
We need to get an estimate or an appraisal.
Probably more like a wag.
Okay, well, I guess, yeah, those are all my questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions from Lorraine?
Is the Farrell Road property in any way usable as a homeless shelter?
My hesitation is with the appropriation of the funds. Low and moderate income housing fund, I believe, is only designated to be used for permanent housing.
Okay.
So the property may be used as a shelter, but it would have to be sold to someone who would want to put a shelter on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So most of my questions have been asked and answered. One of my remaining ones is, what happens if we do nothing?
The properties will sit. I mean, there is no urgency to this at this point in time. The successor housing agency owns these properties. you know, the economy is at least pretending that it's starting to pick up. And that's why one of the reasons the staff has brought these to you. You know, as far as the piece that is adjoins the city lot, if the council as a whole agrees with staff's recommendation, we can start taking steps forward, both budgetarily, because we'd have to plan for it in the budget, as well as technically, to merge that piece back with the city property, if that is your desire and direction.
So which actually leads to my second question. So it's about to be a great lead-in. So for the piece on Hillcrest, it would be sold from the successor agency, purchased by the city, even though technically that's the same.
That is correct, because currently it's owned by the Low and Moderate Income Housing Fund. The successor agency is in charge of that. So the money would have to go from city's most likely water fund, actually, and into the low and moderate income housing fund.
Okay. So if we did go down that path, we would basically use some fund money to pay the successor agency, and then the successor agency would then have the right to use that as the low moderate.
No. The successor agency currently owns it. We would pay money out of the water fund to the successor agency, which would technically speaking go into the low and moderate income housing fund. Successor agency would sign a deed transferring the property back to the city. We would do a lot merger, and it would remain a single lot.
So none of this has any implications on our obligations to the state under the successor agency?
Under the non-housing but the regular successor agency, no. Low and moderate income housing, after the last rewrite, 1484, all of those funds were removed from the ROPS, removed from the long-range property management plan, which the city already submitted. The low and moderate income housing properties are the property of the housing successor agency and just need to be dealt with in accordance with those laws.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. That's all the questions I had, but I will have some comments or thoughts later.
Bob, was there a project approved on this site? Intent, I thought there was.
Yes, there was. That
How many
was
units?
The Vernon project. There
How many
were
units?
Five units.
So, okay. So it has potential. And I know that the city attorney talked about they're requiring exceptions, but when we talk about variance and exceptions, this is the textbook case. You got an irregular shaped lot, varying degrees of topography. So, look, I guess I'm of the opinion. Can the successor agency sell this to Housing Trust Fund or Habitat for Humanity?
Certainly.
Bob, what did we do on with the four units that were produced on the corner of, I want to say, Long Branch and fifth or sixth?
That was Habitat for Humanity.
And we contributed quite a bit to make that project happen.
Yes, we did. Both the property and all of the impact fees, and there could have been some infrastructure, but I don't recall.
And there were some other monies that we had gotten through a grant from
It was
county.
A combination. They had gotten some funds, grants. We provided a redevelopment agency funding, housing funding, to both originally purchase the property and then also used housing funds to pay for the redevelopment funds to pay for the impact fees.
Okay. Well, I guess where I'm at is I will agree with staff on the Hillcrest property, because I know that in the negotiations for the easements, if I'm not mistaken, I thought the church or the property owner was asking for things that were a little beyond reasonable.
That's my recollection.
And so I would agree with that. But this particular piece, since I live down there, I drive by it, I walk by it, I bike by it all the time, it has some potential. And I think if we're really serious about trying to figure out how to help facilitate low and moderate income housing, I think this is a site we should go forward on. It may not be five units, because I know there was a property owner right next door to it who came and had some concerns with it. But if there is something that can be done, whether it's four units, and because this is right near a lot of apartments and townhomes and then industrial park on the other side. So I think we should, my two cents is we should keep this and give staff some direction to figure out a way to work with one of those agencies and produced, whether it's three, four.
The five unit situation, and it's workable. You can try to work around it in the proposal. But the five unit situation arose as a result of our ordinance. Our code section provides for local incentives.
Yeah.
Those weren't enough, so we had to kick it into the state incentive. So that's why five units, because it needed
right.
so many development standards, relaxations, for lack of a better word, that we ran out of the ability to provide it under the local ordinance. So we had to kick it into this.
I think
we can work with that issue.
And I think a contributing factor to that was it was a private developer, because when redevelopment went away, he was going to have to take a bigger risk, and so we were trying to be cooperative. And so if we're dealing with another affordable housing agency, maybe there are different, especially if it's 100% affordable, so we can talk about that later. But that's my sense. My sense is that I think we should pursue a housing project on this. It may not be what's approved. And then the other one, I agree with staff. If the city buys that and you merge it back, then maybe those are some funds that we can contribute to this. Karen, you have some?
Yes, please. Regarding this property, I believe it originally was looked at for four units, if I'm not mistaken, and it couldn't work. And so we ended up with five, and it was very tight.
Yeah.
I have no problem hanging on to this, though, because I do think that if we had a nonprofit or somebody who really was looking to go forward solely in that direction, we could probably get something there. I am, though, concerned about using any water fund dollars at this time, particularly for something that it doesn't have to be done right now. So I'd prefer that we just status quo and see where we go, and I just don't want to take any more money out of that water fund, particularly if we don't need to.
Great point.
Thank you.
I would echo her sentiments with regards to that. There's, I think if something did come forward and we had an opportunity presented in front of us, we could use this as a additional option. But not having one in front of us, I think we can kind of keep that property.
So then I want to just confirm status quo means keeping them the same way, or do we want to give staff some direction on the Farrell Road property to broach the...
I would like us to really put it out there to the community that we are searching for someone to come in and either partner on that or step in. And one thing I'll just say from sitting on HSOC is the movement now is so much toward housing, and what is so needed are small studio units. So that may be very appropriate. And with a neighbor's concern, if there's five units, that only means five people. So it wouldn't be as much of the congestion. So something like that may be be extremely useful and be very appropriate, possibly.
That's true, but the problem, I think, was more of the being able to look right down into their backyard. I mean, it's just such a dense type of development.
So
when I say status quo, I meant that we keep the properties, we don't sell them, and then we can go forward from there.
Okay. That sounds like a good motion.
I'll second that.
Okay. So I guess we're going to keep the properties, and then we can have subsequent discussion on Farrell and 10th, if it makes sense. Okay. Okay, with that, and if there's no more discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. Staff, do you feel like you have adequate direction on that?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council.
Okay, so let's see where we are. We have no pooled consent agenda items. Does anyone have any council committee reports they want to give tonight?
I have one.
I always
defer, but
okay.
I think it's time that I do it. I'll be very quick, fast. And this is in reference to APCD, Air Pollution Control District. The federal government has lowered the standards of parts per billion for the ozone calculations to 70 parts per billion, whereas it was 75. However, we have had some exceedances, but only way out in the middle of nowhere. I shouldn't say that. People live there, but it's out in Carissa Plains and out that way where there's very low population. However, the problem is transport coming from other counties. The other thing that I wanted you all to know is that regarding the state park and the recreational vehicle area, there were no federal exceedances of PM10 through the testing period of May through June. There was only one exceedance of the 2.5 PM, and they are attributing that to lower wind speeds and the fact that they have put some measures on the ground to help defer some of that sand blowing, although some people argue whether or not that's really working, but at least so far the last testing period showed that we had certainly improved. That's all.
Okay. And so I'm just wondering, Karen, I don't know if this is something maybe Bob can follow up on. That's a good report to see that we had no exceedances. I'm just curious that given the level of air quality, we've been able to qualify for these congestion mitigation air quality funds. You know, maybe that's just a call. I don't know if it's to Larry Allen or to Rhonda Carley, and just kind of see where we are.
Well, SLOCOG received $2.2 million as a result of the non-attainment.
Exactly.
And so we probably won't achieve attainment this time around, but hopefully we'll be able to split the county like we've done in the past, and then so the half of the county from wherever Paso to the ocean would be one part, and so we have attainment there without any problem.
Gotcha. Okay, great. Thank you. Good report. Barbara, you have anything?
No, actually. South County Transit does not meet until January. Capslow and Prado are Tuesday and Thursday of this week. And I must admit I skipped the RAC meeting because it was 2 days after our long discussion on water issue.
We won't hold that against you.
Okay.
We've been to those meetings. Miriam, do you have anything?
Bob and I had our first tourism marketing district update meeting with Visit San Luis Obispo. It was really informative. The TMD has been moving right along, made a lot of progress. Actually, I just got an email today that Saver ended up in the black for the first time ever this year. So that was a pretty cool development. They just went over, they're putting $840,000 into marketing shoulder season, which I thought was in the summer when you would show your shoulders, but apparently it's in the winter when you can't get people to come here. It's an industry term. So from November to April, there will be putting $800,000 into marketing, which is interesting because that used to be the entire marketing budget, and now they're just able to do that for the summertime. So that is going to have probably some pretty cool results. And what else? They talked about just all of us having to really work on paying into the TMD on time, because that's becoming an issue for everybody and obviously important. An interesting way of how they do this marketing and advertising, it's all digital now. So it'll just pop up on your Facebook feed and on certain wine websites, and they can time it with the weather. So if we do get El Nino and they know for the next 3 weeks there's no point in drawing people here, they can turn it off and we don't have to pay for it. So I thought that was kind of a really cool development in marketing. So that was that meeting. And then John and I had a pretty cool meeting on Friday with the Chamber of Commerce. They had their board retreat, and they asked Grover Beach what they can do for us. So I don't know if you kind of want to talk about some of that stuff. But.
Sure, a meeting. So it was a really good meeting with the board. We gave them an overview of how the city operated and the budget. And then we said the call to action for the chamber, how they could help us, was, one, have a greater presence in Grover Beach. While they merged the Aurora Grande and Grover Beach Chambers of Commerce, and that I believe the vast majority of people believe that was a positive thing, I don't think they had much. They could have done a lot better communicating out to folks. And so there are still some folks who believe that the city allowed that to happen, which is not true. But for them to have a greater presence in Grover Beach, and the discussion came up about the building across the street that the chamber technically owns, and I believe that they are going to make a decision of whether to locate a satellite office there. So I imagine they would be in touch with the city manager. The second call to action was...
I didn't four whole down. Days ago. What was it?
Well, we had talked about
festivals.
Creating yes. Doing festivals, but also creating an event that's uniquely Grover Beach. You know, that's
and
really
want to focus on Grand Avenue.
Exactly.
Because although the music festival is really becoming pretty huge, it's not bringing the business that we would like it to Grand Avenue. And if it might not, John had a really good suggestion of a sand festival at the beach so that then people would come on to Grand Avenue, or having this butterfly festival that's been talked about, yeah. But again, focus on Grand, or even if it's just keep the music festival, but let's get a stage on Grand Avenue and figure out closing off part of the street or all of the street so that it really does benefit the businesses as well as being a great event so that they're thinking about that.
The other was we had talked about what the things we had done with respect to transient issues, and they were appreciative of the update. But then we talked about there's only so much government can do, and so how they could assist us was, one, helping with the establishment of a business watch program akin to a neighborhood watch program. And then the other was to look at creative ways with respect to security, not necessarily saying every business go out and hire a security guard, but is there a hybrid program out there where they could help fund something that would have put some eyes on the streets at night, whether it's from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. or whatever. So to kind of have that kind of conversation of how can they contribute to improving or at least helping with the perception of safety in the downtown core and in other strategic locations. So they seem to be very receptive to most of those suggestions. And then we also told them that basically when a business locates here that they need to be a lot more attentive and go and introduce themselves to that business to make them feel welcome. And so that's part of that growing their membership. So I think those are really the high-level points and the ones that we were trying to be very specific to give them to think about.
One right? thing that they, just to let you know, if they really did do this suggestion, I don't want you to be surprised, but because Peter Keith brought up that he had always thought about bike trails to get people to drive by businesses, and I said, well, yeah, but we don't have to even wait for the bike trails. I've always just thought, let's take the sidewalks that we do have and just paint butterflies on it and call it the butterfly trail and make it go by all our businesses and encourage people to kind of walk this loop when they're going walking. So they did write that down. So if you see butterflies painted on the sidewalk, don't be surprised, because that was one thing that they had been thinking about themselves. So.
Yeah. Oh, one other thing we brought up to them, and while it may not be something that they would do, was the thought of a business improvement district. You know, I know the San Luis Obispo has a downtown association, so they're not necessarily a function of the chamber, but they do work together. So if there are business owners out there who are really interested in that, then I think as a city we would support that. But certainly we're not going to take the lead on it. It's just a suggestion. So I think those are some things that would help them improve their presence in Grover Beach, let the business owners know that they've got an advocate. Because that's certainly not our job. Because we said if you're going to advocate on behalf of the businesses, if a business comes down here and they're not they don't believe they're getting the right level of service, they need to be able to advocate on behalf of those businesses, but they have to grow the businesses and ensure they can support them. So hopefully they've taken that feedback and we'll see some positive results. Anyway, anything else?
No, I think that was it.
You good? Good. So I didn't have anything to report on mine, my committees, because I think the South Sand District meeting was canceled on this, what was that? Would it have been the second?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a slow cog is actually rescheduled to the 16th. So I got a slew of meetings coming up in 2 weeks, and I'll report back to you all at that time. Any council communications?
I have one.
Well, let me let you want to go,
or she can. Or Mary.
No, she just no, talked a lot. You go.
Okay, I just have two. One of just a reminder that I'll be attending the SCORE luncheon tomorrow, where they'll be saying thank you and appreciating Lorna Whitaker. So I think you'd already said you weren't going to be available. So I've got the mayor's proclamation with me that I'll be taking there. But obviously, if you attend, I'll be happy to turn that over to you.
I'll be there probably in my work capacity. So you got that duty. Keep going.
Sounds good. Okay, great. And then the other communication is that I'll be attending a league effectively a league study session on medical marijuana up in San Luis Obispo on Friday. As you may recall, the state has approved three bills with regards to the situation, and this is basically the league providing some information and what options cities might need to take before March 1st.
Yeah, to maintain local control.
Right.
So we should definitely be having that conversation very soon.
At the next council meeting.
There we go. Next council meeting. Perfect. Any other council communications? Marion.
Well, I probably have Barbara? The same one. Yeah. Barbara.
Hold on. Barbara, you go.
Barbara,
you
go.
Well, I just wanted to say that this council, as it is comprised right now, is celebrating its first year of service to the community.
Wow. Impressive. Impressive. Wow. Can we get some cake at the next meeting? Well, I was at home channel surfing last night, and I learned all about how we got the tradition of wedding cakes, but I won't bore you all tonight.
Oh,
Mary,
well, so that was a different one, Barbara. I thought you were going to bring up at Grover Beach Community Library.
Okay.
On December 19th, we're going to have story hour with Santa. Well, I don't know if it'll be an hour, so show up on time. Story with time with Santa.
Right.
11 a.m. at the Grover Beach Library. Santa's going to read a story, and some of us are going to be there with crafts and cookies. And last chance probably was Santa, December 19th. So
I'm more interested in the cookies than Santa.
Well, that's all right. Then
the kids aren't.
All right. City Manager, do you have any reports or comments?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Just a reminder for everyone, we have the special meeting coming up on Thursday. It's a workshop meeting at Ramona Garden Center at 6 p.m., and the focus is dealing with the transient population and impacts specifically on businesses, but everyone's welcome.
Great, thank you. City Attorney.
Not tonight, thank you, Mayor.
Okay, we don't have any closed sessions tonight, so I'm going to
If I can just ask one favor of the city manager. I had inadvertently told someone that the Thursday meeting was here. So can we post a sign at the door, kind of redirecting it towards Ramona in case they actually remember that I told them that it was here?
Just put his name on it so they know. Okay. So I'm going, and not so fast, I'm going to adjourn the regular meeting, but I believe we have a joint City Council Finance and Authority meeting that we at least have one item when we need to take action on tonight, correct?
That's correct.
That is correct.
Okay, so Donna, how about a roll call?
Here.
Thank you, Donna. Public communications. Is there any member of the community that would like to address the City Council or Financing Authority? Okay. Seeing no one come forward, let me close public communications. And then we have consent agenda for the Financing Authority. This is FA1, this is the minutes of the Joint City Council Improvement Agency Financing Authority meeting of June 20, 2011. Is that right?
The last time you met.
Oh. Okay. Someone want to?
I'll make a motion.
Very good.
That we accept the minutes as presented.
Okay.
Approve the minutes.
I'll second with the obvious question of our city attorney. There's actually only two members of this.
There is no legal requirement to recuse yourself from voting on the minutes if you were not present at the meeting.
Right. Okay. So, but actually, one member of this board now was present at that meeting.
No. Yeah. Yes. So you do not. There is no requirement, that you recuse yourself.
I think there's you and I. He's talking about.
Well, so. Yeah, but apparently you were absent.
Well, thank you. Somebody read that. 10 years, and I think I missed 6 meetings, and that must have been one.
And my alter ego was there.
So there's a motion. I think there's a motion and a second.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Let the record show it's a 5-0, and we're going to keep moving. So the item CC/FA1, which was approval of a lease financing with the Grove Beach Financing Authority, Bob, I believe that one has been pulled from the agenda.
That's correct.
So we don't take any action on that, and they would say at 9:29, we are adjourned.
Wow.